Greetings, lovely listeners of the Cider Shed podcast. Before this special episode begins, we would like to wish all of you a warm, fuzzy, mulled, cidery Christmas and a Grundy New Year. The latter is optional. Thanks for all of your support in 2023. You are much appreciated. After a short word from a sponsor, this Christmas episode will begin. Now, sit down, tune in, and cider out.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Arr, grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir, joined by Kerry Warbis and a special guest. Reveal yourself.
Hey, hey, it's me, Peter Fickling.
Hey!
Yay!
As I said last time, I am very curious about the people who have no idea who I am. Mm. And so, turn off now, guys. Enjoy Christmas. Have a fantastic time.
Have a good one, Peter. Love to the family.
Yeah. That's the thing from Portsmouth, right?
Colin from Portsmouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love to the family, Colin.
It's lovely to have you back, Peter.
I was literally just saying to you a few seconds ago how I do miss the pod, I miss the people, I miss you guys, and yeah, it's familiar but strange to be back.
But you have stopped listening to the Archers for a while, haven't you?
I have, and I told you when I will start listening again. I'm going to start listening again when you guys tip me off that Fallon and Emma get their vicious, unrestrained, and much needed revenge on the f***ers, Tom. Who else? Tom, Natasha, and yeah, other parents. How are Pat and Tony doing? Are they just kind of are they just standing by and watching evil happen, or are they actually getting stuck in and being monsters themselves?
I think Tony's coming. Well, we haven't heard much from Pat, have we?
No.
Recently, but Tony's...
maybe I should start listening again.
Tony's come out of it quite well recently because Tom and Natasha have just been using the tea room as somewhere to just walk in and walk out with, like, baskets full of food, whereas Tony has noticed they're not paying for anything. Well, Emma's running up a massive bill, which she's going to give them at the end of the month. So we think that might be when tensions start to bubble over. But Tony's pretty good. Like, a couple of weeks ago, he paid for soup and a sandwich, and he said, "I'll get this." And Tom did this really annoying thing where he went, "You don't have to, Dad." Like, making a big show in front of Emma that they run the place now. And he went, "No, it's cleaner that way." And just put the money down on the table to pay.
There's no way the BBC would do this, but what would be great is if Matthew could do a kind of spiteful, hateful digest of the Archers, like edit out all of the shite and just leave in Jacob, Emma, Russ, if he ever comes back, just all the good characters. Because spoiler alert, Matthew and Kerry sent me an omnibus to listen to. Thanks for that, Kerry. I very quickly remembered my kind of Archers experience that, yes, there's about four characters I hang in for, Jim as well, of course. And then, yeah, just the rest of them can fuck off forever. I mean, awful, awful people, fictional people.
Bumper list of characters in this one as well, wasn't there? This is Christmas 2016 that we listened to. There were a couple of Christmas omnibuses that were popping around, and we went for this one. Kerry listened to this one. She thought it was best.
Yeah, why was that, Kerry?
Why did I choose it? Well, I only listened to two. I didn't listen to every Christmas omnibus, I have to confess. Right. I quite liked that this one it was long ago enough for people to have slightly forgotten, It had Jill being an absolute in it, and it had mention of Rob and Helen and little Henry, which kind of chimes with what's happened recently.
Yeah, I had, you know, something I'd completely forgotten about, and it's about four-fifths of the way through the omnibus, was Rob sucking up to Justin. It was one of the most oleaginous, and I'd forgotten about that side of Rob. So that was one of the few good things that came out of it, was hearing kind of like OG original Rob.
I quite enjoyed him shitting on Adam, though, about Charlie. Surprise, surprise.
Well, didn't he say to Adam, "I'm the only person you can be honest with this entire room"? And then Ian just showed up and went, "Oh, that lager's gone a bit warm. Why don't you drink it, Rob?" I mean, we're pre-flood at this point, aren't we? Isn't that when the shit really hits the fan with Justin and Rob? Oh, no, we're not pre-flood, because Rob was a hero. It's when Stefan comes back and all of the stuff comes out about him blocking the
culvert.
That's when Justin and him have it out, and he like tells him he'll never work again in the industry.
Did you hear the really pathetic, untidy haste with which I went said the word culvert? I was so pleased to never remember the word. Calvert. I remember it.
The buzzword, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Peter, if you're in the mood, let's see how rusty you are with the archers. I've prepared a little quiz for you. Shula recently returned to Ambridge, despite the fact that the actor was never meant to come back. But for what reason did she return? Was it because Alan is stepping down as vicar? Elizabeth was worried about Freddie's mental health after Lily's moving out? Lillian wants to build a massive horse arena with all of the stable's money? Or Sunderland banished her?
Now, it could possibly be two. So we don't know that Sunderland hasn't banished her. So let's just say that has happened. But then the one that made it on air, I think, is because I did listen to the pod to the Cider Shed last week. So I think it's the horse arena one.
It is the most unlikely one of all of them. Yeah. The fact that Lillian thought, despite the fact that you need planning permission for everything in this village, she could build a horse-a-drome and no one would care about it. All right. Well, we talked about Tom and Natasha taking over the tea room. What was the terrible name that was mooted for the tea room's new moniker? Was it TNTs, Terum, Terror, or Trauma?
I remember one of you coughing up a lung, not sorry, just spitting a whole load of bile towards Terum.
Very good.
This because this isn't just testing whether I listen to the Archers. It's actually testing whether I listen to.
I thought TNTs.
That's what we're doing, really, Peter.
Was a good red herring, there. All right, Johnny. Johnny is incarcerated in Peru due to entering without proper documentation, coming back on a yacht via Brazil, staying in Argentina because he likes the new president's hair, or back in time for Christmas.
Now, Matthew made a joke about Tom, and I can't remember what it was, but it answers the question, and I think I want to say he's stuck somewhere, so I think it's the first one, the visa one.
You think he's incarcerated in Peru?
Oh, sorry, not incarcerated, but I think he's... Was there an option when he's just kind of stuck in South America? He's not back for Christmas.
He's actually come... He's got passage on a yacht. He's coming back via Brazil. So he hasn't got stuck anywhere. But, I mean, my head, he's in La Paz or somewhere in Peru.
Matthew has mentioned a sort of dungeon in Peru. So do listen to us. That's...
Back to Tom and Natasha at the tea room. Which of these was not a suggestion by Tom for a new bake for Fallon to produce in the tea room? Kale croissant, chocolate and cauliflower eclair, sausage and thyme infused custard slice, or sprout strudel?
Sorry, which of them is not?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I mean,
so you've got kale croissant, chocolate and cauliflower eclair, sausage and thyme infused custard slice, and a sprout strudel.
Well, I'm going to say it has to be the custard.
It is the custard. Is that the most ridiculous one? Because he did suggested a kale croissant, which went completely to mush. He made Emma eat the chocolate and cauliflower eclair, and she basically said, "Oh, I think I'm going to be sick." And he then alleged that Emma didn't have an educated enough palate to understand it.
So, I mean, Matthew is the professional chef, so obviously I'm on slightly, you know, I'm being a bit careful. I don't want to kind of overstep the mark. But even a kind of enthusiastic amateur like me knows that a croissant will not... You can't sort of... What is it? The idea would be like a chocolate croissant, but with the kale folded into it like that. Is that what we're imagining?
Yeah, apparently...
I don't think chocolate was involved, was it?
No, not with the kale croissant. It was just kale. But apparently, because of the water content, it just completely went into some amorphous blob.
I guess you could kind of cook it till it was, the moisture was kind of out. And then,
that's what Tom suggested.
But isn't it then? I do like a sausage. But then it's not a croissant. It's now a pasty. Yeah. Is where I'm getting.
Yeah, but you're thinking of a croissant with stuffed inside kale.
You think this is folded into the dust?
Yes. Yeah, that's what he did. Yeah.
No, that's not possible. That's not about the lamination. It wouldn't work. It's because a croissant's all about the lamination. Yeah, and then I feel like I'm getting Matthew points now.
Fallon went off and then made kale and cauliflower empanadas, and they were amazing and made Tom look like a twat. But as the music was about to play, he went, "What about a Sprite strudel?" And then the music played. I was waiting for him to go, "Nah, just fucking kidding." But it didn't. He was deadly serious. All right, lastly, Alice met her new bloke, Harry, at an AA meeting at a show jumping event in Hampshire. When he came to the stables to complain that they'd impaled his niece's horse on a fence or on a rare all-night session.
I think it's the fence. What I want to say is, of the last couple of episodes I've listened to, if you drew a pie chart of the topics, it's about 60% Kerry hating Harry.
That's just in
a very entertaining way, just going on and on and on about how much you despise that character.
Yes, I do. He's a wrong un.
See, I've never heard him. There's a character I've never heard.
Yeah, he's only just...
Which is weird, isn't
he's
it?
He's been there about 3 weeks and already Alice and him are completely loved up.
I had shades of Rob when I first heard his voice.
Yes. Mm. And now he's trying to... he's visiting Chris at the smithy or whatever it is.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that. I haven't got that far this week.
Yeah. And why would he want to be doing that?
Get some new iron knees.
Yeah. To get his hips sorted out.
Yeah.
Well, it's his hips.
So, yeah, I mean, probably in all of that quiz, the most ridiculous option was the correct answer.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think we've unlocked the Archer's code.
Well, I will say, I do want to listen again now. I do feel like maybe my hiatus is...
There's been some good episodes recently. I really thought so. I mean, going back to this one of the things that stood out for me from Christmas 2016, you had this ongoing debate about buying the land for the Aldridge family. Deb is back. She just wants to chill out. They want to sit around the table. Last week, we had both Brian and Kate lamenting, although it was... Kate was lamenting about Peggy going into the Laurels, but she said it was because of Jenny dying. And they were both saying how much they missed her at this time of year. We could wind back the clock 7 years, and they're both treating her like shit at Christmas. Mm. Brian was basically telling her to, you know, just stay in the kitchen and stop trying to prevent him talking business at the dinner table. And Kate had a go at her because she was nice to Debbie when she showed up for the first time in years.
Yeah, it was lovely hearing Jennifer in her full Jennifer. I mean, at Christmas time, a hostess who's obsessed with family just completely comes into her own, doesn't she? Either doing a fantastic spread or getting super stressed out because it's not going exactly how she wants it to.
Or making human goose costumes for Kate because Kate can't be arsed.
Yeah, I did feel for Jennifer because they kept wanging on about farm stuff. Even though it's the Archers, we don't want farm stuff around the Christmas dinner table, do we?
Can you two remember this storyline or either side of it? Because didn't Brian just try to sell it to them that this was better for their inheritance if he bought up this land and there'd be more? Obviously, because Brian's kid situation got a bit more complicated in the last 14 years of this episode going out.
The moment land and stuff is mentioned, I don't pay attention.
Yeah, but that was the idea, wasn't it? That it would be like something to leave the children.
Really, like the land stuff, it's all like, oh, should we buy this many acres, that many acres? Well, but what, use it for this, use it for that. I'm more interested in the people and how they're getting along with each other. But if you can't remember where it went, I'm definitely not going to remember. And well, maybe Peter does, I don't know.
It's a bit like when Stephen Bartlett or any of these other rich blokes prop up on TikTok and they're trying to give you advice. It's like, yeah, you're not speaking a language I understand. Mm. You know, trading huge chunks of land is not part of my life and never will be. So I'm not going to try and fill my brain with the information necessary to kind of... My vague sense is that they had to maybe stretch themselves, which, as Matthew said, is it's creating the financial jeopardy so that when that down the line there's no wriggle room. Right? Didn't he have to kind of leverage some property or something to kind of make the purchase?
Yeah. Alice at one point say, like, you know, interest rates alone, 1.7 million isn't very much to borrow. And I was like, hang on, just check the clock here. All right, December 2016. All right, get ready for the shit to hit the fan, Alice. Because Brian, didn't he say, like, you're acting like Armageddon's coming? I was like, it is coming, Brian.
Yeah.
Although I would like to hear what Alice would make of Liz Truss's effect on the inflation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing that didn't occur to me. This is a pre-alcoholic or at least recognised alcoholic problem, Alice, isn't it?
Do we assume this is around the time that she was working hard, playing hard, and sort of like there was a few, you know, there was some mentions of her kind of, is this when they started to drop little hints that she was sort of like, you know, out partying with their colleagues till the wee hours?
There was that time that she was in the farm office on a Friday and she was like, okay, and you just heard like a keyboard like, and she went, okay, that's it. Email sent. Gin and tonic for me. I think I've done very well. And it was like she was reward drinking, wasn't she?
I did listen out in this omnibus for those hints of any of that. And there weren't any actually in this omnibus, I don't think, were there?
No, if anything, it was Debbie kept getting offered more drink, didn't he? Brian said, you finished the bottle. And then he poured her a whiskey and she told him, like, you know, you just sit here with it. And
you need time to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that occurred to me in this episode is that Kirsty at the end of this panto run told Tom she was pregnant with Ren, because that was when they did this pantomime. That was when, I don't know if she found out over Christmas and then she told him at the end of the run, because it wasn't, she had a quite early miscarriage, didn't she?
Yes, well remembered, Matthew. I was focusing purely on these minutes in my ears and not thinking at all about what had come prior or post.
No, I'm with you, Kerry. Matthew is like the Minority Report with a kind of full readout of the sort of the ley lines of the different plots stretching back and forth.
This is post all of the Helen and Rob crap, so you know that Helen's got out and Tom and Kirsty have had their one night stand passion on the night Helen is released. How else to celebrate Helen getting released and shagging her best mate, who's also like your ex-fiance who you jilted at the altar. Yeah, I'm pretty sure like before they were going on stage or after they'd come off stage when they were all celebrating, wasn't it like they went to drink and she wouldn't drink and she said like, I'm pregnant. I think it was something like that, wasn't it?
Matthew, Dustin Hoffman's going to get another Oscar playing you in your life story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was there thinking, he doesn't know, does he?
Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah. I don't know if she, I think she found out within like I'd have to go and listen to the other omnibuses. I think she found out within like a week of this.
Yeah, you do that, love.
Do your fair share, you bastard.
I know, I'm now imagining you listening to the next one. Are we starting again from 2016?
Maybe we should.
You know, it's going to be like Russian Dolls. And in that exactly. Second podcast, they'll then do omnibus lookbacks.
One of Peter's favourite characters, Toby, was everywhere in this omnibus, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, but sorry, I'm not trying to hop about, but it's kind of part of a broader thought process. So I was thinking about Kerry, as is so often the case when I'm listening to the Archers, I've got like a proxy version of Kerry and Matthew kind of playing in my head. I'm kind of imagining their reactions. But obviously when it's Adam, you immediately think, what's Kerry making of this? And then... But don't you think that modern day Adam and modern day Toby are so much more likable than this vintage. The early Toby and this version of Adam are just almost unlistenable. Mm. Whereas the kind of up to date Toby is really quite pleasant to have, you know, coming through your radio.
Well, Toby hasn't had to go to war with Pip yet at this stage, has he?
No. Mm. Yeah. At this stage, he's just being a bit of a shit brother. You hear Rex's frustration with him. For people, because obviously, for anyone who hasn't done the listen along to the omnibus, because Rex is, this is the time in the plot when Rex is just going bananas. He's been trying to run this stupid goose business. Was it Goose? Yeah. Was it Goose? Or stupid goose business with his brother. Toby has been doing nothing productive except for having sex with Kate in the swimming pool.
He is trying to make gin.
And he works behind the bar at the pool.
Yeah, but in order to go and make the gin and be behind the bar and the bull, he's basically done a runner from the goose business, hasn't he?
As a big fan of Rex, I was very annoyed with Toby.
Exactly, but this is the point. Matthew was saying that I was kind of like, you know, probably effervescing with excitement to hear Toby yet again, but actually the opposite, because it reminded me that back then I thought he was a bit of a dick. It's only, as Matthew said, that once he's on team us, not Pip, that we kind of like start to like him.
And it was Toby who actually planted the seed about going to view what the Calendar Girls reunion thing was up to, wasn't it?
He basically said, you know, a bunch of women get together,
they always take their clothes off.
Yeah.
I liked it where someone said to, but Jennifer's there, as if that means nothing will happen. And then they went, but Lillian's there. Like, oh right, off we go then.
Well, that was Eddie.
Yeah.
That was some sort of old school Eddie acting. He was like, oh, Lily. Yeah. He was really quite excited.
You sounded just like him.
Oh, thank you very much. Kerry, I don't know if you know this. Matthew, this is important.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you know this, Kerry, but I have actually won an acting prize.
I don't know why you're reminding us. We think of it.
I'm not going to come on the side of shed and not mention my acting prize. That's, you know, playing all the hits.
What'll it be next? Stop the Boats.
Well, you know, I live in the right place for that, don't I? You know, I occasionally go for a march down the down the beach, having a look for foreigners.
How many boats have you stopped this week, Pete?
Do you know what? I have yet to see a bedraggled boat full of Afghans wash up on Folkestone Beach, but you know, yeah. Do you know what? One of the best things since I moved here is we've now got a Labour council.
Mm.
So high hopes that our local MP, he's a Tory, so obviously he is a wrong'un, but within the broader group of wrong'uns, he's in the subset of not completely evil Tories. So that is something. But anyway, but I'm very, very hopeful we're getting a Labour MP soon.
Cool. Everywhere will be Labour MPs soon, won't it?
It's absolutely madness. I mean, there's going to be two more by-elections. Peter Bone, who teabagged a subordinate.
That's what should happen to all subordinates.
Yeah. What's the female equivalent of teabagging, Kerry? What would it?
Don't know. Does it involve tits?
Tit bagging?
Possibly.
Clacker dabbing? I don't know what.
It's just a good old-fashioned face sit, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can, including Scott Benton or Miriam Cates in this?
Oh, it's three potential ones. Yeah, three by-elections. So anyway, happy, happy days.
This Christmas, why not pay a visit to the most wonderful village in all of Borsetshire? Drink in a friendly pub without fear of having the shit kicked out of you by a slaughterhouse owner, or being press-ganged into some god-awful choir by the landlady. Meet the local constabulary, helping the public while not dressed as badgers. Stop off for refreshments in our finest tea room. Lots of traditional baked goods. Absolutely no fusion fuckwittery courtesy of a deluded sausage nonce. And before you leave, we insist you spend some time in the village shop, where we guarantee you won't be upsold a tracker mortgage when you only came in for a pack of Rennie. Have your Christmas mail for your beloved family set on fire in the adjacent postbox, or even hit by a brick thrown by one of the local horsey set. While you're there, why not visit the flat above the shop?
Be careful! Those stairs don't look safe!
Don't be silly! These stairs comply fully to the Building Regulations Treacherous Steps Act of 1981. So come one, come all. We'll be waiting for you in the wonderful village of Darrington.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
As much as you were finding Toby annoying, can you side with Jill, though?
No.
That's madness. Yeah. You saying that just to try and be a kind of like a, hey, but what about the other? I mean, how, okay, how, I don't have anything to say. What, justify that question, Matthew.
I was trying to remember why she was so, what was it Ruth said?
Why do you despise him? And we all know why.
His grandmother.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew, let's put it this way. If one of the children of that pop duo you had a threesome with turned up in your class at school, would your feelings towards the child's parents and aunt and mother have anything to do with how you treated them in the classroom? Because that's the question, isn't it? Why is Jill letting something from her past infect her present so easily?
And Jill won as well, didn't she?
Yes, yeah, mad.
Oh, not morally, though. Just sort of practically. She didn't win. Because, I mean, the whole episode began with David and Ruth bickering about decorating the tree. And you could tell Ruth was, like, on eggshells because of Jill. And then in marches Jill, interfering in a really passive-aggressive way about tinsel, of all things. Are you going to use the tinsel? And Ruth's like, I wasn't planning to. She's like, I always think it's the finishing touch. She's like, oh, just these were the first opening lines and you were already, it was very well written and played because already she was like grating.
Jill was the least pleasant surprise. It was just, so she's such an awful character.
I sort of chose it on purpose because she was in it, really. And then she did Jill's beef, didn't she? Jill's just is beef, basically. She's beef personified. But when she later said, I told Ruth what time dinner would be ready. Should we ring her? Why doesn't David go, shut up about it? Why are you such a horrible person? Like, David was weak in this whole omnibus about Jill, I thought.
But that was the dynamic for years and years and years, wasn't it? It only really came to a head with the Ben situation.
True.
When in the end, Jill moved out because both David and Ruth let their feelings be known.
Oh, that was good.
What's that thing where she comes in from the church and said, Alan's sermon was all about forgiveness and how some people can't open their hearts?
Yeah, David said something like, well, it sounds fairly reasonable to me. Having a slight dig. Of course, that went totally over Jill's head. She practically called Toby a tramp, didn't she? Because Ruth said, I'd be happy if Pip brought a tramp home for Christmas dinner. And Jill sort of went, well, he practically is. He hasn't really got a proper job and he's homeless.
I remember, Kerry, years ago, you pointing out very angrily that, you know, that Lizzie and Jill both share the same sin, which is they've married into this privilege, but then they're the worst kind of like exploiters of it, or sort of, you know, the worst at displaying it. It's like, just a second, it's your family farm. You brought up your kids here. Obviously you have a huge investment in it, but don't act like, you know, that you're better just because you happen to live here. Mm. It's absolutely, you know, like that, because Toby doesn't have a full-time abode.
Yeah.
It's surprising how much sway Jill has in this episode at Brookfield as opposed to how much sway she has now, because she had the final word, didn't she? She said that Pip has, she chose her bed and now she has to lie in it. Like, so essentially she cannot come to the house for Christmas dinner if she dares to bring her boyfriend. Whereas I think if she tried to pull that trick now, she'd find herself back down at the Bull with Kenton and Jolene.
Well, I might be misremembering, but I thought that Ruth read Jill the Riot Act, and that's why and that kind of acted as an excuse for Pip to come over with Toby on Christmas Day.
Maybe.
That's what I vaguely remember, that that Ruth finally snaps. She kind of snapped a little bit, didn't she, in the omnibus, where she was like, you know, I just want to have my daughter here, you know, for the day. I don't really care about the rest of
Ruth, poor Ruth. She made such a valid point, didn't she? She hasn't really got anyone else family-wise either, has she, around her, of her own side of the family. And she did say to Jill, it's not Pip's choice that she's not coming here. It's basically, you're not making her feel welcome.
When Ruth bumped into Pip at the farm shop and she went, oh yeah, you always have to get stuff in for Christmas, all the ingredients, cream, ice cream, butter, nuts, sprouts. I was like, is Tom making dinner this year?
Yeah, what are you doing here, they said.
But we got kind of sidetracked there from the whole sneaking down to look at the calendar by the three gents. I have to say, I find Neil, back in these episodes, a lot more huffy-puffy comedic character than he is now. He's a much more serious, respected character in The Archers. Mm. He seemed a little bit more, you know, comic relief, almost. Getting shunted out the door for daring to eat his cheese sandwich in front of the fridge.
Oh, it was good to hear Susan.
It was.
After slogging through all of the nonsense with Kate, and with, because this was the worst version of Kate, right? The one we had, you know, this was a bad, you know, like Kate comes and goes, doesn't she? Sometimes she's one of the best characters when she's with Jacob or being a kind of like nut job. But this is, you know, but anyway, so, and then finally Susan was there. I was like, yes, the promised land. You know, comedy chat between Susan and Neil. Susan kicking Neil out was fantastic, as you said. And then Neil kind of like the easiest arm twisting ever, getting Eddie to stay in the pub till closing time.
Yeah, it was Eddie saying, I'm watching my weight, just a half. He's just sat there waiting for someone to buy him one, isn't he?
Well, I mean, I that haven't had a drink now in 3.5 years, and I cannot imagine anything more beautiful than being sent to the pub at like 5 in the afternoon and just being told, do not leave, do not, you know,
don't come back till after last orders.
Don't come back until you're absolutely
And they've also got this the Great Escape Night on the 27th of December in the Bull as well, where you're just trying to get away from your family. Did you hear this?
No.
Kenton had organized a thing called the Great Escape, and it's the 27th of December, and it was basically an invitation to get away from your family and come down the... It was nothing else other than just come down the pub and get wankered instead of chatting to your other half and the in-laws.
Where everyone would love to be. I bet it's mainly bloody men, though.
But this is, you know, that wouldn't it be the whole of so it's the whole of Ambridge except for Jill in one house, Pat in another house, Helen in another house. Who's the worst one from each family? Adam, yeah.
On the 28th of December, in this year of our cheese, 2016, The Bull in Ambridge presents The Great Escape, Matriarchy Edition. Come join Emma and Clary as they leave all of the Grundy men at Grange Farm banging on about their million-dollar idea to turn ferret shit into renewable energy by this time next Christmas. There'll be Debbie and Jennifer wisely getting out of Adam and Brian's way as they kick each other repeatedly in the knackers over herbalays and pointless purchasing of land. Perhaps you'll even spy Ruth, having had enough of David sobbing while providing his back as a footstool for Jill. And look here, it's Helen, Peggy, and Pat here to join the... Hang on. Sorry, ladies. You're not on the list.
The Great Escape, Matriarchy Edition. Customers must agree in advance to purchase at least 3 pints of Shires, half their own body weight in pickled onions, and have a mandatory walk-on part in Linda's production of Mother Goose. No Helens, Pats, or Peggy's allowed.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Neil was quite freaked out that he had the horror bins coming over for Christmas Day, wasn't he? He was.
I bet you they're the most fun. I bet you a horror bin Christmas is the best of all the Christmases.
We'd have had a 12-year-old Chelsea running around or something, wouldn't we?
Yeah. That was funny when they were talking about the kids, like George was getting a second-hand bicycle. And I think at one point in this episode, they were talking about Roy being good at art. Which made me really laugh because wrongly, I was just thinking it's basically saying he's not very clever, isn't it?
It's quite difficult to draw a symmetrical swastika freehand, Kerry. So, you know, it's not as easy as you think.
That was the only thing he was good at.
Yeah.
They conveniently forgot when they talked about Jethro, Clara's dad, that David Archer actually killed him in the 80s. Didn't he, like, locked down a tree and the tree fell directly on
it. Oh, I wish you'd chop a few more down. And speaking of Christmas gifts for the kids, because Emma was talking about the secondhand bike for George, and then Kira said she wanted a pink iPad. Obviously, Emma was saying to Helen, oh, we've had a vet's bill, so we can't go to the Panto, but we've got this secondhand bike for George. And oh, Kira, you've got to remember that Santa can't afford presents for everybody. She's like, yes, I know, Mum. Helen, of course, did not offer to help at all with any of that.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, you'd have a quiet word, wouldn't you? You'd say, look, it's not a loan.
Here's the tickets for the Panto.
Exactly, yeah.
You've worked really hard, but no, nothing.
Yeah, it was a bit of deja vu, really, wasn't it? Because... like last week in The Archers, we had David stressing out over Brookfield Christmas and Emma worrying about money. And I feel like we go back 7 years and we're in exactly the same spot.
Mm.
It's just, you know, Jen is not there serving canapes and champagne.
Well, maybe, just maybe when Emma moves to the EV charging station, she will finally, you know, because what would be great is if she and Fallon go there as peers. Like Emma becomes, maybe Emma's the driving force. Because Fallon's wonderful, right, as a character, but she lacks that kind of grit, right? Mm. You know, so you can't really imagine her forcing it through. Whereas I can imagine Emma will finally crack and just go, right. Because that's the thing. Okay, so here's my prediction. Emma will turn this spreadsheet she's got of the money from Tony. This will trigger her producing her business plan. When she sees the numbers from one person down on paper, she'll then turn it into a business plan, get the figures worked out, get a loan from the bank, suggest it to Fallon. They'll go in and do it as a pair with kind of like Fallon front of shop, Emma back of shop. And then this will be Emma's final kind of like redemption and rise to triumph.
Yes. Here is hoping.
Yeah, this is what I need. I really, I think, I mean, in being 100% serious, like one of the reasons I've taken a bit of a holiday from The Archers, I think I just did get kind of slightly crushed by the middle classness of it. Now, there's no one more middle class than me. You know, I am Mr. Sourdough Bread, fussing over my fucking coffee machine every morning. But even then, it's too much. We need to have some of the have-nots succeed.
I hope you're right, Peter.
Matthew's being very quiet, Kerry.
He doesn't want any of that.
Well, this he's going back to the Cotswolds. Yeah, he doesn't want to go back in, you know, ignominy when everyone listens to him.
It's not quite the Cotswolds, I have to say.
Yeah.
Susan's going to withhold sex from now on because they fell into a fish pond.
Yeah, that was... But, I mean, we got there. How can I put this delicately? No need. We've been told many times that, you know, she likes it as much as Neil does. She's quite the goer, isn't she, Susan? So I don't think it's really... I mean, it doesn't sound like she's the kind of person who will be able to turn the tap off.
I mean, who wouldn't be a goer with Neil?
Yeah.
Really?
Grab your ankle, Susan. Assume the position.
Assume.
It was quite good of them to suddenly realise they were going to sing... Ding dong merrily on high, wasn't it?
Is that neatly tying together the two things?
In the house, they thought it was dildo merrily on high.
Matthew. Oh,
do you think they use marital aids, Neil and Susan? I don't think so.
What a funny term that is.
Yeah.
Marital aids.
Yeah.
It's one of those sort of euphemisms from kind of 1950s BBC, isn't it? Mm. But I imagine that Susan and Neil might go in for a bit of role play, but I don't think they would bring surrogate penises.
I'm trying to think of the brand names of the devices. Yeah. So you'd have like the Barrow Burglar.
Burglar. Something to do with chili, because they only apparently have sex if they have chili, don't they?
Yeah, and if Neil makes lasagna for Shula, that's it. It's no sex for 3 months.
God. Yeah, I mean, that all died down, didn't it?
No, well, she's back. Might raise its ugly head again. Kerry, were you Adam's secret Santa at the BL party?
With the hip flask.
Well, not the hip flask. Did you not hear the other gift he got?
Oh, no, I heard Ian sort of going, "What?" Oh, I can't do his voice, but did you ever find out who sent you the hip flask? And I was thinking, well, that's Charlie, isn't it?
But someone bought him, and I thought, I was trying to imagine what picture might Kerry be tweeting out back in 2016. Someone brought him Christmas tree scented shower gel. And I can just see the log picture.
Yeah, with a few sprouting fur bits.
That's made me quite sad, the amount of plastic shite from Christmas. Like, how, just me as a person, how many tons of, you know, novelty shower gel and funny bathroom items have I been given in my life?
Wow, how much Lego have you bought, Cyrus?
Oh, Kerry. Oh, dear.
Is that made out of sort of recycled stuff nowadays?
They tried. They've just given up on that, actually, rather depressingly.
Oh.
They've had a project going for ages to try and make Lego out of recycled plastic, and they just gave in.
Does it not work properly? Is it not got that snap?
Yes, it's because... Do you want to know the tedious history of Lego? Okay. All right. Sorry, Matthew.
I've watched the documentary on Netflix.
That's the one, The Toys That Made Us, yeah.
Where it keeps going back to that guy who goes, the system. Yeah.
There's exactly that's the information I'm going to regurgitate. But basically, there was lots of Lego toys in the UK, and the Lego, which is something like, is it Free Play in Danish or something? Anyway,
that's one of them sex toys.
I think a Free Play Danish was something that Tom put on the menu at the tea room last week.
But you nailed it, Kerry. It's the clutch. It's the grip.
Ah, the snappiness.
And couldn't get that working. So, exactly. So anyway, but it's very depressing. And yes, I have bought him.
You've killed the planet.
Massive. There's at least one, probably a seal, a cormorant, and a dolphin, all dead because of Cyrus's Christmas present from me.
Yeah, all those earthquakes in Iceland and what have you.
Is that climate related?
Well, no. It's just the latest thing that's happening.
It's just plates shifting, isn't it?
There's that one company. So there's one company in Holland that makes the machines that another company in Taiwan then turns to makes cutting edge chips with. So there's basically two companies in the world that produce, you know, something that we all rely on.
Mm.
But then I was thinking to myself, like, if they knocked us back technologically to, like, I don't know, 2005, I think I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, we'd be all right. But we do all rely on chips.
Underappreciated chips joke from Kerry.
No, but like, for instance, us now making this podcast, we could still do the podcast. We just wouldn't be able to do it like quite as easily with, you know, like it would take a bit more effort. But like, you know, I think 2005, 2010, I could be stuck technologically there for quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I used to record the charts on a little microphone with a cassette recorder.
What was your DJ name, Kerry?
Special K.
Special K, really?
Yeah.
And have you ever spun the wheels of steel? Have you ever been up there?
I have.
Do you still have any of the cassettes with the full set on? Could you create a Spotify playlist?
The Latvian Easter disco, Peter, is all hell breaks loose at that thing.
Popping off, mate.
Well, I was quite pleased. Kerry and I had a chat earlier on, and I was quite pleased to hear that Kerry is feeling very Latvian after her trip back to the motherland or the fatherland.
Actually, I read something about that, and they don't call it either. They call it the homeland.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Kerry, Special K's classic playlist, please, Kerry.
You did send me like a hard house classic playlist once, didn't you? Or some like rave classics. That was good.
Oh, what? Yeah. That was for my street party that I made that playlist for. Yeah, we haven't talked about mislabeled scallops.
No, we haven't. Rightly so.
I was wondering whether you've ever experienced mislabeled scallops.
Yeah, well, I thought you said there'd been a mix-up between the dates and the scallops. I was like, that's not very difficult, is it? Scallops are a very fancy shellfish, and dates are what Kerry eats a steady diet of before every podcast.
I will say, though, listening to Ian being, you know, like, this is in his head chef days. So I've been listening to Matthew rant about his new iteration as sort of head of food. And it really irritates me when they can't even get things accurate for someone like me to smell bullshit. You know, like, it's fair enough if, like, someone like Matthew, who's an expert and has done the job for years, goes, that's not quite right. They got those few details, like, you know, incorrect. But for some schmo like me to just go, that's absolutely obviously bullshit, is really irritating. That's something that they need to get rid of. It's just like, it's not even research. It's just like, have a chat with anyone. Ian's whole career is bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
The best culinary line in the whole omnibus was when Helen said, he said to Tom, Rob's going back down to Hampshire to spend Christmas with his parents. And Tom went, oh God, that turkey will be throwing itself in the oven.
Yeah.
Having recently hooked back up with Rob's dad. And what a Bruce, wasn't it? Bruce Titchener. Barrel of laughs he was. Mm. Did you hear him when he came back recently, Peter? Did you hear that episode?
No. I didn't stop when I left the cider shed. I carried on listening for like another month or two, but I think I just had there was like a few weeks when my life was just bananas. Genuinely didn't even have time to listen to The Archers. And then I was just like, do you know what? I don't really need to listen again. But anyway, I think it's been a couple of months, but I'm not just saying this because I'm on the cider shed. I want to suck up to the listeners. I genuinely feel enthused again after talking to you guys. I feel kind of like I do need to remind myself about, you know, some of this stuff. I can't just I can't just parachute. I've already changed my mind. I can't just parachute in at the last minute. I really need to listen to the lead up to Emma and Fallon's triumph. And if it doesn't happen, be, you know, let the my anger have full reign.
So might we have you as a little guesty poo more than twice a year?
Well, I don't see why not. But I mean, apart from a, you know, having gone, you might go from one email a month to 55 with everyone just saying no, no, 1,000 times no.
People have missed you.
There was a very good comment on the subreddit, which we think you would actually find funny yourself, Peter.
Was this in between accusations of Kerry being poisonous?
Yeah.
It was contained in the same message.
But so I was about to say, I think Kerry's poisonous, but I mean that as a huge compliment.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird, isn't it? Because, like, Twitter is full of criticisms about the Archers. Most other decent podcasts about the Archers are critical. It's just a bit of a strange world where you're not critical.
There was a footnote to all of that, and they said, it's a shame Peter isn't there to add some positivity to proceedings.
Or some calmness, wasn't it? To bring calmness.
Oh, I can't remember. It was very funny.
Yeah. Me and Matthew laughed our bloody heads off at that. It was like the least calm person.
One person in the world. Yeah. There's right behind me on the wall is a certificate I was given when I worked at Microsoft. And it's like an award. We all got awards. And my award was the something something award for Zen-like patience. And I was given it by my boss. And I said, this is sarcasm, right? Like, because everyone else had got these really nice awards. She went, no, it's sincere. I'm like, and I just thought to myself, have you really properly
you
listened to
me?
A word I've ever said? Yeah. And she gave it
Your
to me
Your old boss isn't on the Ambridge subreddit, is he, Peter?
Mike was just...
Are they French? Yeah, I mean,
no, Australian. She's a very, very lovely woman. What it might have been is she's maybe the most diligent and hardworking person I've ever met. And I used to share a desk with her. And I think that I was just, my work ethic was just ferocious when I was sharing a desk with her. I didn't, you know, even barely look up. But yeah, anyway, yeah, I'm glad that one other person has been, you know, completely misread me.
All right. Well, I mean, we should explain a little bit about why we've done this episode is because my travels and Christmas looming, we won't be able to do a regular episode. So we thought we'd do a flashback and get Peter involved. And just like Merry Christmas to everyone that listens to the podcast. And thanks to everyone that supports us on Patreon. That's a massive help.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to everyone who helps the Cider Shed exist. Very, very grateful.
And I now have the rare... I mean, I guess I'm unique in being the only person to ever be on the Cider Shed, start it even with you guys, and then also be a big fan. I love listening to it every week. I really enjoy it. It's when I'm sort of making food for the family on a Sunday. And do you know something weird that happened the other day was I was listening to it and I was like, is that me? And it was Matthew. So for the first time ever, I did what everyone else does and got me and Matthew confused. So I'm a proper listener.
There was a couple of weeks ago, I went really husky at the in the final 10 minutes.
That was it. You sounded particularly sexy and deep voiced. And I thought, yeah,
there you go. That's what it was. I knew. Yeah. I thought I was sounding like Justin at the time and I just couldn't clear it. But
actually, that would make you sound like me if you sounded like a patrician posh blowhard.
That's my Merry Christmas to everyone, Kerry. I'm sure you want to say something.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to go and put on a buttercup dress and have an amuse-bouche or two.
An amuse thingamabob, as Neil called it.
Are you going to take a full-speed run-up at your local pub tomorrow, Kerry?
No, I'm not, Peter. No, it's lots of family stuff that I'm doing, and I'm very much looking forward to that. I've done some pubby stuff past week with work. And that was very nice too.
It's just wish fulfillment. I know that you have your, I know you've got your friend Kerry who sometimes goes to the pub.
Yes, do you know what I'm doing? On Friday, she makes the best mulled wine. I'm going to her house Friday. I have the day off work, the 22nd, and that's where I'll be.
I'll be out in Bristol on the tiles on Thursday night with a whole bunch of mates who are getting back together. I kind of tentatively already said to my mum, I think I'll stay out that night.
Yeah, it's probably best.
Yeah.
Well, Merry Christmas, you too.
Yeah, you too. You as well. Have a fantastic time. And in case I forget to say later, everyone else, have a lovely, lovely Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Ho, ho, ho. You didn't do your Brian Blessed.
Oh, yeah, Peter. Brian Blessed time.
Ho, ho, ho.
Can you do a Weaver's Alive on demand, Peter?
Weaver's Alive!
It's that last bit, isn't it? The wavering bit at the end. Brilliant.
Yeah. Which he isn't, unfortunately.
Weaver's dead.
Weaver's very dead.
Hang on,